This is the Ed Milet Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Well, today is a topic that we've not ever covered here before that I'm excited to cover. But if you got young ears, young eyes, probably not the one for them today. But for everybody else, this is definitely the one for you. We're going to talk about sex, baby. We're talking sex today with the best on the planet. She has a new book out called Smart Sex, How to Boost Your Sex IQ and Own Your Pleasure. And if you're listening to this before the middle of June, then you're going to pre-order it. And if it's after the middle of June, you're just ordering the book. And I wanted to have her on because I just believe bliss and pleasure in life is so critical. That's really the nature of why we do the show, is to have people have more bliss and pleasure in their life. And sex is a major component of that. So, Dr. Emily Morse, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ed.
Here we go. I got to tell you, everyone in my family and my friends is very uncomfortable we're having this conversation today. Like, be very careful where you go. So we'll keep our conversation today to mainly committed monogamous relationships.
Yeah.
But it's such an important topic, and it's not talked about. It's like a taboo thing. And it's not to me. It's just most of the people around me are like, all right, where are you going with this today? So let's see where we go. Why are so many people in relationships that even that I know that seem to have love, you know, or they at least really like each other a lot, but man, it seems like the physical intimacy part of their lives over time really deteriorates. What happens to people, and why does it matter?
That's such a great question. And thank you for having me on, because this is going to be fun. I think we're really going to help people think about it in a different way. The reason why is because we don't talk about sex in long-term, in any relationships. I'm going to say long-term relationships, but most of us are so uncomfortable when the subject of sex comes up. We don't have role models for it. No one talked to us about it. Maybe we grew up in a religious home where it wasn't okay, and it's still not okay. And so we just don't have the comfortability with it. That's the one thing. We're not comfortable about sex. The next thing is that we're afraid if we do bring it up that it's going to make us look bad, like we should already know everything, or we're going to insult our partner. If I give my partner feedback about something, I'm really going to hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
She's going to feel bad about it, so I'm not going to do it at all. Mm. And the third thing is sometimes we just have this sense that something's wrong with our relationship. Sex isn't what it once was at the beginning, which, by the way, it never is. Mm. That's why we call it the honeymoon phase. There's a reason, you know, that's a really great period of time, but it doesn't last forever. So we think, well, you know, maybe something's wrong with me or my partner. If I bring it up, I don't really know what I want to say about it. I know it could be better, but it's just not, and I'm not sure where to go with the conversation. So I'm just going to remain mute.
Yeah.
Hope it gets better.
You talked earlier about communicating. And so I guess that means two things. You talk about in the book too. Do you mean just like overall communication is one thing? Like, are we talking? Is there this like connection, this intimacy verbally that we have when we talk? But then there's also like, because on your website, you have all these tools and quizzes and resources of things a couple could do together, because it is awkward. Like, listen, it's normal when it's, was that good? And you know, there's a lot of lying that goes on. There's a lot of faking that goes on in sex, right? And I've even had male friends recently tell me, I fake too, right? Like that even surprised me.
We all fake.
Like married couple guy telling me I fake it sometimes. I'm like, okay, that happens, I guess.
Yeah.
So when you say communicate, do you mean both? Like we should, it sounds silly, but like is it harder for a woman or a man if it's like no communication, like, all right, let's go. So the leading up to sex communication, or do you mean communicating about actual what feels good to me?
All of it. Such a good question. Okay. I think we need to communicate about sex during sex. We need to communicate about sex when we're outside the bedroom. All the time we have to talk about it. Because most couples, and maybe you could relate to this and people listening, it's like, you might say like, oh, we could have sex tonight. Did we have sex? We haven't had sex in a while. Should we have sex? And then in the moment, we might be like, is that good? But that's about all we do. And so I provide so many tools on the website and in the book about how to specifically do it. Because here's the thing. Most people, like I said, have no sex education. And if we do, on top of this interview, I was saying that we don't talk about it. It's because we have no sex education. We have no models of people talking about it. So I get that it's awkward. Like I spend most of my show, like I give a ton of tips. I talk about, you know, how to do all the things. But most of what I do when it comes down to it is how to communicate. And I have great tools like, because here's the thing. What if you want to talk to your partner, but you don't know what to say because of all the things I said? Like, are they going to be mad at me?
Right.
Are they be offended? So I give tools like the compliment sandwich. Okay. So here's how you do the compliment sandwich. I love this one because let's say you want to give your partner feedback.
Yeah.
And you're like, I can't just, first of all, we've never talked about sex. How am I going to come out and say it? So the compliment sandwich is things like nestled between the bread are two really great. The two pieces of bread are compliments, like things that you just, you know, I love the sex that we're having. It's been so great. And this is how we do it. Because someone's listening to this show right now. They're like, I want to have an internal orgasm. How do I tell my partner that?
Yeah.
This is how you do it. You'd say, think of one thing that you are just loving about your partner and your sex life. So the first part would be, I've just been thinking about how hot our sex has been lately. I love when we make out during sex. That really gets me turned on and going. I'm thinking, you know, we could make out more. That would be great. And I'm realizing that I was listening to Ed Milet's show and I heard this thing about internal orgasms. I realized when we make out, hopefully we make out more. I'm really hoping we could spend more time on my orgasms because I know you always have an orgasm, which is, I love seeing you orgasm. And I think if we could spend more time maybe figuring out what makes me feel good, I've heard about these different kinds of orgasms, then the third part is, then I know that we would be even better lovers to each other. And can you imagine where our sex life's going to go? So you end it with like the first thing is a compliment. The second one is the request of, could you go down on me more? Could we get a sex toy? Whatever you think is going to get you to more of those orgasms. And the third one is why it's going to, the third part of the end of the sandwich is, these are how, why it would be so great for both of us.
Yeah.
Both of us.
Don't you think that you, when the longer you're with somebody, that it like, it, you fall into patterns and like, this is just sort of what we do. Right. And I got to say this to everybody, you know, prior to meeting you, if you go back and look at interviews that I've been on for the last 10 years, people say, you know, what's the key to a good relationship? But look, communication, trust, all those things true. But the happiest couples that I know, they have real physical intimacy still long after the beginning of the relationship. I have to imagine part of that is that it's not the same every single time, right?
Exactly.
So like, just one thing I want people to speak to. Like if you're thinking about your own relationship right now, you know, I mean, it's like literally like when, where, how, position, time of day, everything begins to be like a pattern and very similar. And then maybe that pattern diminishes over time. It doesn't happen quite as much because it's just, it's the same predictable thing every time. Is that a big issue you
it's
hear
a
about?
Huge issue. I'm so glad you brought that up. The majority of us have sex in the same way, at the same time, in the same position, in the same room, over and over and over and over again. If I, you know, I like chicken, but if I had chicken every single night for dinner for the rest of my life, I would not be wild. Can we just have pizza? Can we sometimes? So it's the same thing that happens to our sex life. What we crave the most in relationships to keep it interesting and hot is we crave variety. We crave spontaneity.
Yeah.
We want something to be, you know, variety, spontaneity, to something a little bit different. And since we don't really know how to mix it up, it becomes the same. You know, I was thinking, I was listening to one of your podcasts. I was listening to your podcast about freedom. You did one about like freedom and letting go. And I was like, oh my God, this is such a great analogy for sex. You were talking about that we all like, imagine that our life is like a 100-room mansion that we lived in, right? And there's one room and we live in that one room, but you could go outside that room and there's so much life to live, but we're in one room. I was like, that is our sex life. We all live in one room. And if you just walk outside the door and you're like, I'm going to try some lube tonight.
Yeah.
Lube could change your life. We're not going to have sex in our bedroom. We're going to have sex in the living room. We're gonna get a hotel room for the night. We're gonna mix up the environment, the atmosphere. We're gonna read a book about sex. We're gonna go to Sex with Emily website and download a quiz. I have something called the Yes No Maybe List, and it has like 80 sex acts.
Yes,
and it has. I mean, literally has things on it that you may never have tried before, like maybe spanking or you know. But it also has like taking a bath together, kissing, making out, oral sex, and you and your partner could do it. It's like, I try to make it fun. I try to gamify it. Is it a yes? Is it a no? Is it a maybe? And you just might find there's 80 things on there. Maybe you found that you both like dirty talk and you never knew that.
Yes.
Maybe it's time to start talking dirty. Then you could flip to the dirty talk chapter and start doing it. But no one, you know, I want people to realize that you can get out of this cycle. Just because you've been with someone for 20 years, it doesn't mean that your sex life is over. In fact, it just means you didn't quite have the tools to keep it going. And that's okay. Like, please be compassionate with yourself and know that like most people don't, but if you know there's something you want to try, you know, you can definitely mix it up and get it hot.
Yeah. And the reason this is so important is so that you can try it with the person you're with. And so that this stuff is a really important topic. And so, you know, let's just be real for a minute. I'm a dude and you're a lady.
Yes.
And so is this stuff that we're talking about, and it's okay if it is, more the need of a woman than a man, meaning is the man like, look, I know what I like, and like, I want to get this going, and then like, I'd like a sandwich, and I want to watch SportsCenter. And so the woman is more like, no, I need more variety or foreplay or this. Or is it actually not gender specific? And the fact is, if the man gave himself more of these experiences and different, you know, opportunities sexually, that he would enjoy it more too? Or do you think you're speaking more from a female perspective than a man's?
I actually, you know, after all these years, I have to say that it is pretty split. Okay. And it is, men and women both need this variety, and they need the spontaneity. They need something. They need the new things. Like, yes, it's easier for men to have an orgasm and to have pleasure. That is true. To roll over, watch SportsCenter. That is true. Mm-hmm. However, I think for like longevity and for intimacy to be really hot and keep it interesting and exciting, I think it's a need of both men and women to continue to talk about it. I think that, and in fact, studies have shown that it's actually women who get bored in longer term relationships. Usually about 4 years in, it has shown that women's desire goes down without the variety and the excitement and the newness.
It's interesting because my friends, there's a common thing with most of my friends, most of my life, which is like vacation sex. And they're like, why it, you just said it's the best. Like, why is that always better? And I've thought about that before. Like, why do everybody always say, and I think one of the things is just like the environment's changed. You're not in the same room at the same time. So if that's actually true, how can you create vacation sex every week in your normal place where you live, right? And so it is it's the variety, it's the change. I think it's the variety that changes scenery. Maybe it's the kids aren't screaming and you're alone and you guys, wow, he really is still handsome and she really is still beautiful. I don't know what that is, but it's something, right?
It's because vacation sex, I'm like, those are my two favorite words, because you're like, can we please get out of it? Because we're having sex in our bedroom, staring at the same ceiling, you know, the same pile of laundry's in the corner, we're hearing the kids, like everything is the same. And so it just doesn't, we have the stressors of home too. The dishes are still in the sink. It's not the environment that is conducive to us feeling really turned on. No, we go on vacation, someone else is changing the sheets. This is a whole new, we've never been in this bathroom together. We've never been in this bed before. We open up the curtains and there's a breeze coming in from the ocean. You know, I've done so many studies and had so many conversations with people where I've said, what's the most memorable time you've had sex? And like 9 out of 10 times, it's like in Hawaii, like on the beach and the palm trees. And I was looking up at the ocean.
Yes.
And so I think at home we can create that though. And I think, again, it's creating an environment where you have more newness than you have more of the same. And it could just be like you wore something sexy to bed that you haven't worn in a while, or you tried a new position. I've got tons of positions in the book or on my website or my thousands of podcasts. I just have little things like that. I once met a woman, I never forget this. I was somewhere, she was probably like in her 70s, and she pulled me aside at a dinner party, as often happens. I'm talking about sex and everyone's like, I've got a tip or I have a question. And she's like, you know what the best sex advice, she'd been married for like 40 years, the best sex advice I can give you? I'm like, what? She's like, wear a wig. She's like, I have a closet full of wigs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I come out as a blonde. And sometimes I'm a brunette. Yeah. Sometimes I've got long red hair. And it's like, not only for her partner, but for her, she's like, I feel a little bit different. And that's why, like, role playing, I know everyone's like, oh my God, that's so awkward. I know that my partner knows that I'm not delivering pizza tonight. Like, I'm not the pizza guy, right?
Right.
But it's like, you can play, like, what's your name? Like, sometimes I sit with my partner, like, he'll just walk in and he'll be like, hey, what's your name? You know, just like a joke, just to kind of mix it up in the moment and be like, it's something different. And for a moment there, I'm suspended to think like, oh, well, this would be kind of fun. I'm like, well, what's your name? And it just, you remember that, like, this is someone that I haven't been sleeping with all this time. And it's just somebody a little bit different, a little bit hot. So we can all do that. And that's why I provide tools for people to, like, even just having the conversation.
If
you've been with someone and you've never talked about it, sometimes just saying like, here's a great place to start. Because I love to give people actionable tools.
Yes, that's what I love.
Tonight when you're at dinner, say to your partner, babe, what are the three most memorable times you've had sex? I'm going to write it down, you write it down, and let's exchange notes. Mm. Right? Not sex in your lifetime, but sex with each other. What are the three most memorable times we've had sex?
Okay, we've had sex.
how fun to go down memory lane and be like, oh, wow, yeah, I forgot about that time at your parents' house when they almost walked in. That was so scary but hilarious. Yeah. Or the time when we were on that cruise ship. Or and then you have memory lane, which actually spikes dopamine and adrenaline and oxytocin, which is the cuddle hormone. So there's actually connective elements there that are going to get you guys so excited and aroused again. That could be your foreplay for the evening.
So good. I'm glad you clarified our best sex. Wouldn't that be true? Right. Give me the three best moments of your sex life. It's three completely different people.
You're like, babe, I wasn't there. That wasn't me.
What's we got in common? Not me.
Exactly. Make sure it's with your partner. What are the three sexiest things? And then when people do things like the yes, no, maybe list, I have them prioritize it. Like, what are the three that are most important to you? Mm. And you're like, oh, then you learn, like, oh, you really liked when we used to give each other massages. Okay, let's bring back the massage element. Let's make out more and let's take more baths together.
I love that. You know, your site's really important. And I usually don't promote sites on the show every single week, but it really is. This is for many people, if you've never had it, and you probably haven't, let's talk about our sex, babe. That's a really difficult thing. But
really
using
difficult.
Your quizzes and the things on there and the tools and the questions is a really convenient excuse to start the dialogue.
Yeah.
And like you said, you might find that there's an overlap and like, you've always wanted this. I never knew you wanted that. I want you to speak to one thing though, because I think, even as I think about that, how important it is to not shame your partner when they do share something, because it is probably the most intimate, revealing thing to go, you know what I would like? I'd like you to, choke me, or I would like you to lick me here. Or I would like you to, I want to cuddle more, or I want us to kiss more, or I want you to wear a wig, or whatever it might be,
right.
or I want to wear a wig. Mm-hmm. That can be, feel so, even with someone you've been with a long time, someone you love so much, you're so vulnerable with, you're like, I'm now telling them something about, it's almost like a secret, isn't it? It's almost like we've known each other 5 or 10 years, and now I'm telling you a secret about me that please don't judge me on. It's got to be really critical that you not judge them, because you could really take your relationship the wrong direction, right?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought this up, because I cover a whole chapter that I call it the pleasure thieves.
Okay.
These are the things that are stealing our pleasure, and they are stress, trauma, and shame. Shame is so deeply embedded, especially when it comes to our sex, into our character, into our being. And you know, I talk about all the places it starts. It could just be something innocent in childhood where we had our hands on our pants. We might have been pre-verbal and our parents said, don't do that. That's dirty. That's wrong. And then forever we feel that, well, touching my genitals is shameful. Or we, you know, had an incident growing up, or, you know, shame comes from so many areas. Mm. So I help people realize that, first of all, where is the shame messages coming from?
Mm.
And I've like also tools where people can kind of journal about this and think like, where did I first learn this? And then try to get rid of these pleasure thieves, because they are stealing our pleasure. Pleasure is such an important part of our overall health and wellness. And I actually dare to say that pleasure is productive. The more pleasure we have, we'll find that we are more productive. We're getting everything done because we often look at pleasure as like this carrot that we get once we do something. Like if I run 10 miles, then I can have the cake, or then I can go shopping if I do this thing. But when you integrate pleasure into your life, we're much more likely to have more productivity and more pleasure and connection to our partner. But the shame element is realizing that, I'm going to give people another tip here. If you've never talked about sex with your partner, and let's say shame is something that's, I'm so embarrassed to tell my partner this because I feel like they're going to judge me. Our relationship's going to be over. They're going to think, or I can't believe I've been with them for so long and they don't know that I have the secret fantasy, or they don't know that I've been faking orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
I hear this from women all the time. They're like, I've been with my partner for so long and I'm faking it. What do I do? I'm so shameful. I'm so scared. So there's all these reasons. I think the first thing is using my 3 T's of communication: timing, tone, and turf. I want people to use this for every awkward conversation, but it works with sex conversations. And this is really important to remember, okay? The timing is when you are in a really good place. You're not halt, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. You know, sometimes we think we're in those places, we're like, this is a great time to tell my partner what I want. It's like, no, that's a terrible time. You are chilling. Maybe it's pre-date. Maybe you're on vacation. You're just in a good place. The tone is curious and honest and open and a little bit like, and kind of slow and light. It's like, hey, I was listening to this show today and I realized I love our sex life. We've never actually talked about our sex life.
Yeah.
Is that something you'd be interested in? Because what I'm hearing is that we'd be such better lovers to each other if we actually talked about it. Would you be into that? And then the third part is turf. believe it or not, the turf for talking about sex is outside the bedroom.
Mm.
When you are, you know, people think like, well, it's, we're having sex in the bedroom, we should talk about it there. No, you want a clean, you want a clean slate. Maybe it's when you're on a road trip, or you're, because when you're on a road trip, you might be driving, but you don't have to make eye contact, because that's the hardest part. So you're like, hey, I think we should talk about our sex life. Or you're going for a walk with a dog. You know, somewhere where you are outside the bedroom, because the bedroom, I think, should be for sleeping and for sex and for nothing else. You don't want to have difficult conversations in the bedroom. So that's where you start. And know, too, that if you've never talked about it, it's going to take a few conversations. You don't want it all. Like, if you've got this deep-seated thing that you're like, I've been dying to tell my partner, it doesn't have to be in the first conversation. The first conversation could just be an inquiry. Would you be okay having conversations about our sex life? Would you be willing to go on a journey with me where we get to look at our past and think about our future and what matters now? Because the other thing I want to remind people is the sex that you want today probably isn't the same as it was 5 years ago. Wasn't the same as it was 10 years ago. It might even differ from month to month. I know, especially for women, there's different times a month where different positions feel better, or different things, we have more desires, or we're just not feeling great in our bodies. I mean, actually, I think it's for men too. So just being open to say sex changes over time. There's so much more on the menu. Like, I guess I just want to give people the menu. I want them to know what's in that mansion. I want them to know what's in those 100 rooms. Like, what are the options out there? Where can we choose? Where can we go left and right? And like, how do we do this? Because I also understand that people don't have a menu. They don't even know where to go. So that's why they're in that sexual straitjacket.
I'm just thinking as we're talking, honestly, I'm so really glad you're here, because I debated today. Honestly, I tell the audience, I debated today, like, this could be an uncomfortable topic. And a lot of times people listen to my show with their kids in the car. So today would be different. And I'm really grateful we're doing this because I love everybody that listens to this. And it breaks my heart to think some people will go through the vast majority of their lives and never really experience the pleasure of the ultimate extension of love is to be able to have that physical intimacy with somebody. And, you know, I was thinking about that vacation sex that we were talking about a minute ago. The other thing element that happens is there's just more love present, you know, and focusing on how much you love one another, I imagine can only intensify that connection. And the depth of the connection is just focusing on how much you love one another, not just the physical parts of where to touch me or where to do this or that, but it's also the emotional part of it. Of how much you really love one another. And so many of you are working so hard in your life, you're raising families, you're growing yourself, you're growing your business, and you could get to the other side of your life and go, I missed out on, like, one of God's greatest blessings he bestows upon us is the physical pleasure we enjoy with somebody that we love in our life, right? And so what would you say to someone who says, man, I, you know, it's been a while, we've been down this road a while, we have, I'm just going to be real, everybody, probably less sex than you used to. And it's not as good as it once was. And now you've gotten busy. Maybe there's kids running around the house, or you both have two jobs, or you got to get your workout in. You got all these other things. You're just like, man, I just don't feel like doing it most of the time. What would you say to somebody who says that to you? Like, it's just become a pattern of not making it a priority. How do we switch that? Obviously, talking about it is one thing.
Talking about it. But the next thing would be prioritizing your pleasure and saying, like, this is something that's important to me. And that's why, actually, in Smart Sex, in my book, I write these five pillars because I realized that, like, we prioritize everything else in our life, and sex is always, like, in the back burner. It's like the bastard child of the health of the wellness industry. It's like sex should just feel good without prioritizing. It should just magically happen
without any work.
It takes work. So really, it's saying, like, would you be open to prioritizing it, like making sure? And then there's a lot of different ways to go about it. First, I want to say also is that it isn't for most people. I always say it's not as great as it once was. So it's prioritizing that we're gonna find out how we can connect to each other again intimately, and realize that sex isn't just about penetration. It is about intimacy, like you said. It's about, you know, sometimes it's just giving your partner a massage. It's making out. It's holding hands. It's feeling close again. Sometimes sex becomes this thing that we avoid, because we're like, oh God, there's my partners, they're coming up and kiss me, that means sex has to happen, and then we avoid and we push them away. I don't have time for sex right now. We go from like zero to sex. And there's all this like beautiful stuff in the middle of it where it's making out or it's, you know, a lot of people, I tell them massage. How about one night you give your partner a massage with nothing in return? And no, you don't have to go to massage school. It could just be, you know, rubbing their shoulders, their back, getting some coconut oil and just rubbing their feet, something like that without the need to you're just receiving that night. You're just giving and then you're receiving. The next time you're doing it, you know, you're doing the receiving or the giving and you switch. And so it's like defining, like, what does that look like for us? And then also, I want people to figure out and kind of hack this. When is the best time for sex? Because I'm a huge fan of scheduling sex. I tell people this all the time. And hear me out, everyone, before you're like, that is not hot. Like, that is not a turn on. Like, I do not want to look at my calendar and be like, pick up dry cleaning, get kids from school, have sex. Yeah. Like, you just, like, killed my arousal.
Yeah.
No, but the thing is, if it's, just think about things that you talk about this too all the time. Yeah. You got to prioritize what's important. Your workouts.
Yes.
You know, the talks with your staff, the talks with your kids. You got to put sex on the menu. You got to put sex on the calendar. And like, this is the night. And if you know, the other thing I get people to do is like, what's keeping you from sex? Like, what is it? Well, we haven't got a babysitter in so long. We never take a vacation. The house is a mess. Like, I know for me, like, if my house is a mess and I haven't finished things or it's too cold in the house, like, or the sheets aren't clean, I'm not going to want sex. Mm. So how do we think about, like, what does get me in the mood for sex? Mm. Well, I know I've worked out. I'm hydrated. Mm. I've cleared resentments with my partner. Make sure there's a babysitter. Better yet, we got a hotel room for the night or, you know, whatever it is. What are all the factors? That's why that great exercise of what are the most memorable times you've had sex? That's also like pure gold. Because you can go, okay, most memorable time. What were all the elements there? And then reverse engineer it. Mm. How do we create that scenario so we can have more of that?
Yeah.
And even if you were in Hawaii and you're not in Hawaii, well, what is it about Hawaii? It's clean sheets. Mm-hmm. If it's room service, like maybe you can make sure that you have all the snacks that you love. Mm-hmm. If it's maybe you go for a walk that night so you're out in nature and you're feeling that. Maybe
some cocktails.
Some cocktails.
Right? Like maybe it's that.
Literally
right?
Get some umbrellas with some pineapple.
Yes.
You know, it's all sensory experiences.
Well, you're a million. I love you. I think this is so good because I got to tell you that I have a friend of mine recently. You said something earlier I want to just touch on, especially for the men. And she goes, well, I know when he wants to have sex because he kissed me. And so what you just said is like, it's a lot of times with us men, I think, and I don't want to do gender specific stuff because it's way too big a generalization and probably not fair to either. Having said that, though, you know, well, you know, he only kisses me when he wants to have sex. He's only getting really nice. He only tells me I'm really beautiful when he wants to have sex. And so there becomes this resistance almost like, oh, I know what you're doing. You're playing me here. You're setting me up for tonight, right?
Exactly.
Instead of just having that be present. That's why whatever your faith is or your love and your relationship, I think it's got to be present constantly to create an environment where the physical intimacy is the logical step next. And what you said about scheduling it, let's just be real. In this day and age, as busy as we all are, what doesn't go scheduled doesn't happen.
Exactly.
And you're like, you fit it in somewhere. And it's like, and by the way, I think sometimes the fact that you schedule it tells somebody how important they are to
exactly.
you. Right? Like, you really matter to me. It's not like something I'll fit in between the stuff that really matters to me. This is a priority for me. So I'm really big. Okay, now we're going to get kind of in some nitty gritty, like tangible physical stuff here. So this is where it gets a little uncomfy for me, but I want to go there. You, here we go. I want to know in a woman's case, do they know what gives them pleasure? In other words, is there some benefit to experiencing one's self to figure out what areas do feel good so that you can tell your male partner what areas feel good? And are some women gone through their lives, or men, but you said it's easier for a man to orgasm, so I'm asking about women. Yeah. They're at a point in their life where they're 25 or 30, and maybe they don't know exactly what, because what I learned from you is that clitoral area, that vulva area, there's different parts that may feel better than other parts, and perhaps experiencing that by yourself first could help you communicate it to another, the person that you love.
Ed, I love that you're bringing it up. What we're talking about is self-pleasure.
Right.
We're talking about masturbation. Mm-hmm. And masturbation, again, talking about shame. There's so much like shame around it. Or maybe you grew up in a household where you were told that it was wrong and you're going to, you know, you're going to grow hair on your palms or whatever all the old tropes are about that. But actually, masturbation is a really healthy part, a really important part of being sexually healthy overall, because that's how you learn what feels good to you. Your partner is not a mind reader. He's not going to come in and know exactly how it all works. And in fact,
or she,
yeah. Exactly. She doesn't know either. Mm-hmm. I think masturbation is great when you're in a relationship, when you're out of a relationship. And what I hear from a lot of people in my listeners too, are like, I caught my partner masturbating. It doesn't mean that like they don't love me anymore. They're not into me. Or is it cheating? And I'm just going to say, it's a really healthy part about understanding your, it's a connection with yourself. Mm-hmm. You're learning things. You don't have to worry about like your partner looking at you there yet. Are you there yet? I mean, I for myself, I don't think I masturbated till I was like in my like late 20s, mid to late 20s. I realized that like I just never thought about it. I was like, well, I have a partner. I don't need to. And I hear the people a lot of times, well, I don't need to. I have a partner. Mm. And I'm telling you and I'm encouraging you, just take some time alone to say like, what? Take a mirror and like look between your legs. Mm. What's actually going on there? Do you notice when you touch certain parts that it feels good? Does it not feel as good? That's how you learn. And then you get to tell your partner, like, look what I discovered. Like, look what feels really good to me. Because you're responsible for your own pleasure. And I used to blame partners too. I'd say, well, they didn't give me an orgasm and they didn't do this for me. And now knowing what I know after doing this for so long, I realized like they have no way of knowing, because everyone's different. If you put 100 women in a room and they were all touching themselves, they would all be doing something differently. It's different for everyone. There's not like this universal, I mean, the parts might be the same, but is it a tapping? Is it a light motion with their fingers? Are they on their stomach or are they on their back? Mm-hmm. We all learn different ways to pleasure. So have some fun with it and get curious.
Right. And I want to be clear. Like if you have an understanding in your relationship where you do feel like, oh, they're imagining someone else, that's bad, then maybe that's not right for you. Or there's a religious reason that you may not do it. I get all of that. But I'm saying in general, it's pretty difficult to express to somebody that which gives you pleasure if you're unaware of what that is.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, there's a way to experience that.
There's a great hack for that. And this, again, once you can get to the point of like masturbation's okay, do it together. Like mutual masturbation together if you're both doing it, you're like, oh, because not only can it be really sexy.
That's a really interesting, that's a really, really,
really
good
fun.
Suggestion. Yeah.
Because then you're like, oh, I didn't realize that you moved your hand that way. So now when I touch you, I didn't know that you wrapped your hand around, like, you're a man, like around your shaft. Like, I'll do that then the next time. Because I'm just sitting here trying to figure it out too. So then you're learning. So it's hot, but then you're like, oh, that's what you do. I'm going to do that too the next time I touch you.
Right. I'm so glad we're talking about
this. Show and tell.
It's not been as completely painful or as uncomfortable for me as I thought it would be.
I think it's great. You're having
I'm like really grateful that we are. What's your definition of a pleasure thief?
A pleasure thief is something that comes into your life and that is really just ever present and is keeping you from having pleasure, joy, or orgasms. And the three that I've identified that are the most, that are stealing your pleasure all the time is stress, anxiety, worry, angst, all of those things are stealing your pleasure. If you are really anxious about or worried about money, your job, insecurities around, I mean, and actually, I don't want to say it's about genders anymore, but I used to say, like, if a man's worried about money, like, he's also should be worried about his erection. You know, it's all closely related, right? So stress, trauma, if you've had any kind of trauma in your life. And I'm even talking like, it doesn't have to be like a big T trauma. It could be a little T trauma, like just things that have happened that really, you know, have impacted your self-confidence. Those that's going to impact you. I think therapy is important for everybody. Essentially just getting a second opinion on your life, which who doesn't need that? It's like a business coach for your mental health. And then shame. We covered shame. Those are the pleasure thieves. That's what's keeping us. And also like going back to when I say stress, it's your busyness. It's doing everything else but. And I also want to remind you that sex is like a muscle and sex begets sex. So the more sex you have, that's why I love masturbation, self-touch, self-pleasure, talking about sex. You get to put that all under the sexual umbrella. The more you keep sex top of mind, the more sex you're going to want to have.
Okay. Let's talk about the two types of lubrication.
Okay.
You call it communication as lubrication.
Yes.
And then there's actual lubrication, which you're a big, big,
I'm a huge
big
fan
of.
Like, that could be my legacy. Remember Steve Jobs, like, I want a computer on every desk.
Your legacy is lube.
I want a lube on every nightstand. I brought you some lube.
Okay,
I brought you
some
gift bag. Yes, okay. I brought you a gift bag and a little massager of this lube that I'm actually chief sexologist of a company called Playground. And why I love this lube is because it's safe for women and safe for men. But I love all lube because here's the thing about lube. Lube gets a bad rap. And here's why I'm a huge fan of. First off, we are told that if we have to use lube as a woman, something's wrong with us. Mm-hmm. We are not wet enough. We're not turned on. And then, if I'm not turned on, that's my partner's going to feel bad. And then for men, we're like, I didn't do something. It was probably my penis size. Like, why isn't she turned on? But let me just clear everyone's mind now and tell you that your wetness level is not an indicator of arousal. You can be really turned on and not wet. You can be wet and not turned on.
Really?
Plus, your wetness is not consistent. Certain times a month we're wetter than others. Certain foods we eat, certain medications we take, we just won't be as wet. It's not reliable. Okay. So, you know, they tell you to wear sunblock even when there's clouds outside.
Yes.
So you could still get a burn.
Yes.
You could still have tears and infections if you're too dry. And so that's why I just say lube on every nightstand. Every time you're having sex, grab for the lube. Just a few drops. I love a squeezable bottle that you just, you know, pour on, you know, even if it's sex with yourself or sex with somebody else. And the Kinsey Institute, which is the leading authority, science-backed studies on sex, they did a study and they showed when you add a few drops of lube, just a few drops, you don't need a whole few drops to any sexual situation, that women were 80% more likely to orgasm.
Whoa.
Because there's all these nerve endings. So we talk about the clitoris, and all you do is put a little bit in your hand, you rub it into a clitoris or the vulva, because there's so many nerve endings. And so those feel really good when they're well lubricated.
Okay.
So
I'm really glad I asked that then. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, it's great. It's safety.
You know, one thing I'm just going to go right into it. So I really want to know this. Let me ask you a better question. What percentage of women actually have actual orgasms with their mate when they're having sex? What's the data say?
Okay. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Only about 20% of women will have an orgasm during penetration.
Okay.
20%. And of those women, it's not every single time. We can have sex in other ways, and usually it's with a toy, or fingers, or a mouth.
Yep.
But really, not with a penis and not during penetration.
And I'm prepping, believe it or not, I prepped, and I learned a little bit as a dude, so I know nothing. I'm a dude, right? So, but I learned this difference between vaginal and clitoral orgasm.
Yeah.
The vulva. I've learned these things. Hey, everybody, we're going right into this because, like, let's make sex better in our lives, right?
Yeah.
And so really what I learned from you, correct me if I'm wrong, is more women have, if men, you should all know this too, it's easier for women to have a clitoral orgasm than it is a vaginal orgasm.
Exactly.
And the reason for that is why?
Is because the clitoris, so the clitoris is really the, so the vulva is the external part of the vagina.
Yeah.
It's the part that we see, that we can see front to the naked eye. And the clitoris, which I think we've maybe all sort of heard about the clitoris in recent years or in our lives perhaps, but it's a very understudied organ. Mm. And the only reason the clitoris exists is for female pleasure. And get this, Ed, you're comfortable talking about it. We never even study it. Mm. While I was writing Smart Sex, my book, for years, for almost two decades, I've been doing this. I said the clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings. We came to find out the clitoris now has 12,000 nerve
endings.
Like, we just found 4,000 more nerve endings. Mm. So anyway, the clitoris is on the outside, and that's really women, if they talk about, like, oh, I had an orgasm once when I was riding a bike, or I was, you know, a kid, or I felt something feel good with the shower head. That's why it's more easily accessible.
Mm.
So internally, though, is where and the clitoris also extends inside. There's actually there's internal clitoral nerve. So mostly how we think of the clitoris is that little bud right up above the vaginal opening, but that's just the beginning of it. Again, the clitoris has legs that extend deep inside. Okay. And when those are stimulated, then you can have a more internal full body orgasm. But just side note, and I get into all this, all the different kinds of orgasms in the book, but when the clitoris is stimulated and you have a clitoral orgasm, it's a lot easier to have an internal orgasm because you become more aroused and turned on.
Okay, so I'm a guy and I don't know this. And by the way, I actually I think some women, exactly, don't know this, right?
No one knows this.
And so when a woman experiences pleasure from an orgasm, is it a stronger one if it's an internal one?
You know, it varies. It varies person to person, thank God, because we can't, you know, we're all so different. But it tends to be more full-bodied. Many women say that it's more full bodied and it's a little bit more intense.
Okay. You know, one thing we've talked about is like orgasms a lot. Does that That's not the only reason someone has sex, though, right? So I think the other thing is, like, feeling pressure to have one can cause it not to happen.
Exactly.
Or to think that the experience isn't worthwhile if I don't have one.
Exactly.
But there's something really beautiful about two people who love each other just, you know, intimately caring for one another in a moment that may not result in the climax at any given time.
Yeah.
So what about that? Like, why is there... I get why there's an obsession, because it's like the payoff, but there's a lot of payoff during it, even without that, right?
Exactly. A lot of payoff. I love that you're asking this question, because I want to, like, decenter sex on only being about orgasm and only being about penetration. You know, orgasm is great. Don't get me wrong. We all love an orgasm. But if you take the pressure off of orgasm and you're like, I'm just going to get curious and I'm just going to breathe and see what it actually feels like to be touched. And you might find that you have an orgasm as a byproduct of not worrying about having an orgasm, which is kind of an amazing side effect of this process. But just being like, I love making out. I love connection. I love touching and rubbing and pleasure and penetration feels good. I don't have to have an orgasm. Then, I mean, that's all okay too, because that's connection. That's intimacy, that's touch, and we need that. Like, loneliness is an epidemic. Not touching, like, if we don't, some people, like, I think a lot of us actually require touch, and then we stop touching because we're like, well, if I touch my partner, it means that sex has to happen. I'm not in the mood for sex, so then we stop touching. We need it. We need to, like, be connected. We need to hug without the pressure of, or have sex or everything without the pressure of orgasm. So take the pressure off, and also be open to the fact that it might not happen during penetration, but what else might you need? I'm telling you, a little bit of lube might help. Sex toy might help. Oral sex might help. Like, that's why this whole fun process of getting into sex might make you realize that there are different paths to pleasure, because I do think it's possible for everybody to have more orgasms. We just don't really know how to hack it. And we think it should only happen in one way.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, there's so many ways.
Very good. All right. Most awkward question of the entire interview, but it's just stuff that when couples get together, they ask one another. And I think sometimes women feel a pressure to be able to do something that they're not doing. So when a woman squirts, is she having an actual physical orgasm? And I ask this because I think men want to know what's happening. And then number two, I think sometimes women feel a pressure to do that, and maybe that's not how their body responds. I don't know. So what's the answer on that?
The answer to that is that women can squirt and orgasm, and they can orgasm and not squirt. But every time you squirt, it is not an orgasm. No.
Okay.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't.
Okay. So if someone's not doing that, that doesn't mean they're not turned on by their lover or their partner.
No, or if they're not squirting. I think there's been a lot of pressure in recent years because of porn for women to squirt. Like, when I first started this almost 2 decades ago, no one asked me about squirting. And then in porn, everyone started seeing squirting, so everyone wants to know about it. So yeah, I think that the majority of women can learn to squirt.
Okay.
And if they do, it may or may not coincide with orgasm.
Okay.
Case-by-case basis.
Okay, good. Thank you for that. So since I asked an awkward one for the women, let me ask an awkward one for the men. Size. How much does size matter in being able to pleasure a woman, or does it vary from woman to woman?
Size does not matter as much as you think at all. In fact, I find that most men are way more obsessed with the size of their penis than women are. And typically it's about girth, if anything, than the length of a penis. The girth is really just, and that's the women's vagina is the most sensitive, about 2 inches inside.
Okay.
So it's really, it's...
You know, now I'm going to ask you a backwards question to your work, because I want to not challenge something, but look at it from a different perspective. So I worry about desensitization in our society to making it much more difficult to have attraction to the person that you're with. So I know you've talked about, in your opinion, you know, like, maybe watching porn together is a healthy thing. But I worry about the reverse of that. I worry about men becoming addicted to that, particularly men or women. But I also, setting that aside, I think there should be some caution or warning or conversation about desensitization that we have in our culture, with what you can see on social media, what you can get on your phone so quickly, that sort of dulls us to the imagery of what we're going to see in front of us or experience in front of us. So although I understand your argument for it being a resource, would you agree with me also that if you're having some of those issues in your relationship, you may need to evaluate whether or not you're showing yourself things too regularly with filters, with, you know,
absolutely
stuff like that, with stuff you see on your phone that just makes, like, the real world not seem as appealing as what you can see in this perfectly manicured thing you're getting on the feed on your phone. I really wonder In fact, I believe that that's to some extent probably contributing to some of the issues we're seeing in society.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I say pornography can be used. It's really titillating. Mm-hmm. Couples can watch together. And that can be really cool to kind of, wow, that's something else we're going to try tonight. Mm-hmm. We're going to watch some porn. And there are some sites that create more like female friendly porn that I actually really like because it shows real bodies and stuff like that. But yeah, that could be great. But no, there are so many problems with we will have with porn because they become reliant on it. They keep escalating it. That's when it comes to a problem too. And there's lots of controversy around using the term addiction when it comes to sex. So I'm really not, but you guys get what I'm saying, that there's ways that you could become attached to it. And when it's not there, it's harder to get aroused with a partner. Mm-hmm. You're like, why isn't she bringing 18 friends? Mm-hmm. Why doesn't she look this way? Yeah. We keep escalating the level of intensity of the porn. And so if you find that happening, and if you find that porn's become something that you're like really reliant on, then notice that, become aware of it. You know, the first step is awareness, and then say, you know what, I'm going to try to just kind of use my imagination. Or I have some great tools in the book, like mindful masturbation practice, where you kind of integrate meditation and masturbation. Hear me out. It's a really cool practice because then you're just like breathing and you're like getting curious. Like, I mean, I've men do this. Like, I didn't even realize that the underside of my penis under the shaft is where this most sensitive part is, because I've never really thought about it. And so that's where there's so much pleasure potential. So yeah, if you feel like your porn is getting to be too much, that's so great you recognize it. Maybe you just put a timer on it. Like, I'm just going to watch for, because I hate to tell people go cold turkey on anything. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're like, I'm going to watch it, you know, not going to watch it the first 10 minutes, but maybe I'll watch it for a minute at the end. Or you could try going cold turkey and just going back to your imagination. But I just want people to have compassion with themselves, but also notice that, like, there's other ways I can get turned on.
Yeah.
I can think about things.
I'm big. I'm big just because I hear from so many men. I really believe there's a detail. Desensitivity
there
that
is.
Takes place. Why I can't say that word that I don't know. Yeah. I'm really concerned about it. I think for those of you that are lacking intimacy in your relationship, that's the first place to evaluate. I do think cold turkey is a good suggestion.
Good.
I do think what you're seeing on your Instagram feed, what you're putting into your mind and your visual experience really does have an impact on you long term. I understand the other argument for it being a stimulant for somebody, but I just feel like it's got to the point in our culture where I really believe it's contributing to lack of sex, lack of intimacy, and pressure on people to, particularly women, to have to live up to what's being seen on these screens and do things that's being done that's not healthy.
I'm with you.
At the same time, and also just, it's just not very realistic in the real world.
No, I think you're, I mean, yeah, I love that you're saying that, because if this is what you, I hear this from men too, and I hear this from women, and I think that just to remind you, like, porn is not real. It's a script.
Yep.
They're cheating towards camera. They're not reliving pleasure. I watch porn sometimes, and I'm like, there is no way that that feels good to her. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you are not near her clitoris at all. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just a reminder to people that, like, if you're finding that there's a way to kind of rewire your brain towards what genuinely, authentically feels good to you in connection with yourself and with a partner. So
I think
I'm
this matters,
you.
Everyone, because I'm talking about the topic of sex in general. What I worry about in relationships that I'm seeing is people who are now just married to their buddy or their friend. And at some point in a relationship, I don't want to just live with my buddy. I mean, I have lots of friends. I don't want to be married to them. And so one of the things that separates a marriage is the covenant of it, but it's also the intimacy of it. It's the physical nature of it. It's the connection that you should have in a healthy relationship. And that's why Emily's work matters deeply. There's not a lot of people doing the work that you do, and I really want to acknowledge you for it. I'm excited about the book too. What else would you suggest to somebody, like, that we haven't covered, where you say, listen, if you're having an issue in your relationship, in or even if someone's single listening to this and they've got like apprehension about, you know, sex in their life, what other resources or ideas do you have for somebody that just says, here's a way to improve your overall confidence level? I think confidence has a lot to do with with our desire to have sex and to believe that we're worthy of it, even, you know, especially for single people. But even if you're in a relationship and he used to really seem to desire you and now he doesn't, you've lost that confidence, or vice versa. She used to really seem to want you and she doesn't. I think confidence is one of these words that is lost when it comes to sex.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Sexual confidence. Like, how do we have confidence even when we're not feeling great about ourselves? Which, by the way, confidence is a spectrum. It's a practice. For me, it's a daily practice. So you could have a day where you're feeling confident, or months and when you're not confident. And you're just recognizing that the things going to confidence is the messages that we tell ourselves, is the self-talk. So listen, if you're walking around all day in this body and you're like, oh God, I've gained weight, or I don't want to be naked with anybody, or I hate my body, or I'm feeling bad. And then you get to bedroom and you're like, oh, I should just all of a sudden feel sexy and feel great. Like, that's going to be really, really hard to do. And I think that if there's any another, I can't think of a better reason to start to work on our own self-confidence and do some exercises around body acceptance or body neutrality. I'm not even going to say body love, because you might never love your body. That's okay. But you could learn to, like, not hate your body.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, a lot of things I talk about is, like, looking, standing in front of the mirror, like, looking at your body and trying to be appreciative. And I know people are like, oh God, I never do that. Well, guess what? If you're not comfortable with your own body, how are you going to feel comfortable with someone else in the room?
Yeah.
Like, now you're having a party with your body and you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
So there's little baby steps you can do when you get out of the shower. A lot of us don't even look in the mirror ever. We're just rushing. But you could take a moment. I could give you, I always know people are like, I'm not saying for 20 minutes, but like for a minute, you can just stand and look and breathe for a moment and be like, what do I like about my body
today?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh God, yeah, my hair is looking good. You know, oh God, look at my shoulders. Yeah, they're coming up and doing some reps in the gym. Okay, I don't hate my legs. My legs, actually, they got me from A to B to C today. I like those things. And then you can dry off and get dressed for work. But try to take a moment to have some moment of gratitude for you. Connect to your body. You are not separate. Your body is with you, getting you from place to place to place your entire life. And we work on negative. I think you talk a lot about mental health and negative body image and negative self-talk. But if you have it towards your body, this is the day that I just want you to think of five things right now. Even if you're driving, you're not looking and you're listening to this. What are things that you can appreciate about your body right now? That is the very first step to feeling more confident.
Okay. Massive thing. I'm so glad. I wish we even covered it earlier in the interview, because listen, what happens if you, first off, nobody does, very few people stare and go, okay, I'm going to look at myself. So one, that's a gift you should give yourself. Be present with your body and look at it. Number one. Number two, that's a difficult thing to do. I totally acknowledge and recommend people do that. I agree with you. The second thing is, you're instantly going to go to what sucks about it. Yeah. Look at that love handle I got. Look at this thing. I used to have that. So then there's going to be this, like, you're just going to go find the things you don't like. But what if you could find, like you said, one to five things, just one thing, man, I got sexy whatevers, you know, like, or that still looks damn good, or man, my eyes are popping, or whatever it might be. And then if it's not from there, it's, but I'm good physically at doing this, man. I got one good, you know what, game, you know, or whatever it might be, but find something to attach your confidence to sexually. Maybe it's your intent to pleasure somebody.
Yeah.
Just that alone. My intention is to be, you know, is to give them pleasure. That's a huge thing. You're already ahead of 80% of the people who are just selfishly trying to get what they can get sexually. But I think finding your confidence game again, whether it's something on your body or your face or somewhere that you think, man, that is beautiful about me, and build from that, or something you're willing, your intention intimately with somebody, I think is a huge thing, because what we're not confident in, we don't want to participate. It's like if you're totally terrified or think you're a terrible public speaker, and I go, and to be in a happy relationship, you need to public speak five nights a week. You'd be like, oh my gosh, five nights a week. I'm a terrible public speaker. So I think there's a connection here, and I'd love you to explore it even more in your work, to finding your swagger sexually. You know what I mean? Finding your confidence. And I think sometimes that time spending alone can do that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So good.
That does give you confidence. If you're like, I just gave myself pleasure, I just learned my body more, then you're way more confident in your next relationship or in your relationship, saying, look what I've learned. Look at this cool thing, because it doesn't have to be so heavy. Like, how grateful is your partner going to be, or would you be, if someone said to you, look what I've learned. Look what feels great. When you touch my inner thigh this way, with this finger, with this pressure, it feels great. Wouldn't you be so grateful? Like,
so
oh my God, I'm so glad I know this.
Yep. And I'll just say one other thing seems like a weird connection, but those of you that celebrate a particular faith, whatever that might be, I think that's an incredible place to build from in your sexual life. I really do. And whatever that faith might be, but that might be the place to begin, that that there's such beauty in the connection that you have with this person, that there's not just a physical connection, there's a spiritual and an energetic connection that you have with this person. Perhaps your confidence derived from that. And I don't think enough conversation is linking one's belief systems and faith that you share with somebody to having real intimacy with them. And I'll say this to a lot of you. If you pray together, okay, and this is something that's never talked about in the sex world, but if you pray together, that is a powerful connection to begin something physical afterwards with. And so this may sound crazy. I know it sounds crazy. So there's all the nasty things you can do, and I'm a believer in all of them. But there's also a beautiful spiritual connection that you can begin to build together as well, or build from one you already have that turns into something even more powerful physically. So that's one thing I just wanted to add. Okay.
Love it.
Chapter 9, explore and play. It's the one thing I just wanted to elaborate on before, because we're going to run out of time. This like flew by. We're already like an hour in or 50 minutes in. But explore and play is chapter 9 of the book. And there's all these great chapters in the book. And by the way, her podcast, Sex with Emily, like, It's the jam. It's the podcast on this topic. But what does that mean? Like, does that mean like just have some fun with your partner playing around and trying different things?
It means just like it's, because a lot of the other chapters are breaking down like oral sex, communication, a lot of different very specific positions. Mm-hmm. But explore and play is just anything that's a little bit kinky. And by the way, kinky is basically defined as anything that's not missionary position.
Okay.
So just side note, we all do missionary, but kinky, it means that you want to try maybe some dominant submission play, some tying each other up,
kinky is
talking
just
dirty.
An expansion from wherever you are. If you're already pretty damn kinky, you may be going way deeper.
This could be
than
next
this.
Level. Because I want this book to be accessible to everybody wherever you're at. And I think the book does meet people where they're at.
Yeah.
And I think you're always refreshing and learning. I'm never done learning. Hopefully you're never done learning. I don't think you ever get to the point where you know everything about sex. So, you know, because we're always changing too. Mm. So this just gives people permission to have some fun with sex. It has stuff on there like the yes, no, maybe list, like some tips about because listen, one of the number one fantasies that people have, whether you're a man or a woman, is threesomes. Mm-hmm. And it could even just be fantasizing about a threesome. But the other one is like group play. But the other thing is like kinky, like either being spanked or doing the spanking, something dominant, submissive. And we kind of, that's the masculine, feminine energy.
Yes.
And I don't just mean gender, but somebody has to lead and someone has to follow sexually. And sometimes like one of the biggest fantasies women have is being dominated, is like being taken, is being forced to have sex. Mm-hmm. And so in a very playful way. So this allows people and gives people permission to explore whatever your fantasies are.
You know what I think? I think people want, I think they want to be wanted.
Yeah, we want to feel desired.
You feel desired. And I think if you have anything you want to kick off, it's like, I want you to want me, right? And I think that's reverse. And it's like, that may seem like a very basic thing, but when you were dating originally, man, they knew you wanted them. And somehow just, whether that is over the dinner, or it is the vacation, or it is the conversation, or it is taking the quiz, the overriding thing, I think, is like someone wants to be desired. Somebody wants to be wanted. And so I think here I am acting like I know the answer to this, but I just know human behavior pretty well, right? And I know that it'd be pretty difficult to be intimate with somebody who you believe doesn't want you.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Yeah. And so that's one of the, if you're going to start from some place today, you know, I would suggest starting there. And I would also tell you, you know, the reason I'm so glad we did this, and I'm so glad you do what you do, is I think there's two main like taboo topics in the world that if we talked about them more and shined light on them more often, that the world would just be a healthier, better place. And those two things are mental health, which is still this taboo thing. Like physical health isn't taboo. You get a knee injury, you go to a doctor and get it fixed. But mental health, which is what I try to do sometimes on the show. And the other one is sexual health.
Yeah.
And when you don't address sexual health in a healthy way, it can become very unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And the things we've talked about, these addictions, the desensitivity issues, the lack of intimacy, the eroding of marriages and relationships, a lot of this has to do with poor sexual health in people's lives.
Right.
And so I think the work you do is like awesome. And listen, everybody, don't be so damn buttoned up. Give yourself the gift of listening to some of her stuff and exploring something. Oh, whoa, I'd never do that. Well, it's okay to at least let your mind go somewhere for a minute. Maybe it opens up another part of your mind that's more your jam.
Mm-hmm.
And so
exactly.
I think you're awesome, Emily.
Thank you.
I really do.
Thank
I mean, like,
you.
You got me through this today. I feel like I don't have
really
a lot of
important.
Injuries. I don't think anybody's going to be really mad at
no,
me.
No, I think it's really big. People really are probably inspired by you bringing this up. So I so appreciate being here. Really.
Yeah.
It's important.
Smart sex, how to boost your sex IQ which you did today for a lot of us, and your own pleasure, which really, mm-hmm. really matters, and mm-hmm. probably the pleasure of your partner at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then you got the Sex with Emily podcast, so yes. I think you're awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I hope everyone can, yeah, check out the book.
And, I think I'm going to do this with you again, because this wasn't as difficult as I thought it was going to be.
There's so much more places to go.
Yeah, well, there's like a zillion more places to go.
You're fantastic. Thank you.
All right, everybody, share this episode with anybody you know that needs some help in this area, which is everybody that you know. God bless you. Max out your life.
This is the Ed Milet Show.